Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Plant your word down deep in me. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Please show me the way.
Good morning. So good to have you join us at Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren for our worship service this morning. This is the Sunday before Easter, and we're anticipating our celebration of Easter, and we're just so glad that you've come out to join us in our worship today. There are those that are out in their automobiles where we broadcast a service there. We want to welcome them to our service also, and we're just glad that on this beautiful but cool Sunday morning, we can come together and be waiting for the blessings of God upon us as we worship together. Again, I just want to say welcome. We're continuing on our sermon series, When Love Speaks, Words from the Cross. And today's message is that Jesus, right before he died, he said, "It is finished." You know, when Jesus was on the cross, he shouted, "It is finished." And he died. And I want to tell you that when that happened, the universe shook when Jesus said that. It is finished. It was a cry of victory. Now, when Jesus died on the cross and the Roman soldiers were standing there and they was watching him die, they thought, well, we've finished with this radical person, this insurrectionist who was challenging Rome. He's finished. And when Jesus died on the cross, the religious leaders were standing around and they thought, ha ha, we finished with this competitor. Oh, he was getting so popular and the crowds were following him so much more than they were following us. But now, he's finished. And when the disciples were there and they looked at Jesus dying on the cross, they thought, oh no, the dream of the kingdom of God to come, it's finished. And even Satan, when he looked at the cross and he saw Jesus die and he had a sparkle in his eye and a glee, and in that moment he's thinking, the Son of God is finished. But when Jesus said, "It is finished," he was not saying, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." Big difference. Jesus didn't say, "I'm finished," because he wasn't finished. 3 days later, on Easter morning, Jesus came back to life. And he certainly was not finished when he said that on the cross. In John 19, it says, "Knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, it is finished." But when he says it is finished, what was Jesus meaning? What was finished? Obviously, his suffering was now over. It was finished. His humiliation of those spitting on him and mocking him and making fun of him, that was finished. His pain was finished. He was no longer bleeding and suffering from the beatings. His grief was finished. He would look down upon the people watching him and say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." His grief was finished, but there is so much more that was going on that I want us to look at this morning. For Jesus' entire life here on earth had only one goal. And here's the goal. In John chapter 4, it says, Jesus said, "My goal is to do what God wants." So what did Jesus accomplish on the cross? Well, first, when Jesus said, "It is finished," the first thing he finished was he fulfilled the scriptures. Last week I talked to you about how there are over 380 prophecies in the Old Testament where God, over hundreds and thousands of years in those prophecies, said, "I'm going to send a Messiah. I'm going to send the Christ, the Savior." And the way that you'll know that He is the Messiah, the way you'll know the one who comes, who claims to be the Christ, you will know that when He does this. And all these prophecies said, this is what the Christ will do. Or when He says this, you will know this is the Messiah because He said that. He will come, and when all of these things happen, then you will know this is the Messiah. And Jesus is the only one who fulfilled every one of those 380 prophecies. In Luke 24, Jesus said to them, "Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law, and written about me in the prophets, and written about me in the Psalms." And He told them, this is what is written, that the Christ, when He comes, He will suffer, He will rise from the dead on the third day. So not only were all of these prophecies, but there were many promises made. And God says, here's what I promised to do. I'm going to send the Christ, the Messiah, and He's going to die for you, for your sins, for mine. And Jesus, when He finished suffering on the cross, when He was paying the price for you, for me, for the world, He says, "It is finished. I have fulfilled all the prophecies. I've fulfilled all the promises. And I have paid the price for you." So the second thing Jesus was saying when He says it is finished, He says, "I've satisfied the law." When He's saying, justice has been served, the sentence has been completed, what the law required, I have done, and I've done it for you. So what does the law require? The Bible says the penalty for sin is death. That if you sin, the penalty is that you must die for that sin. And so in Romans 8, it says the law of Moses could not save us, because we sin, because of our sinful nature. You understand that, don't you? That you can't save yourself, can't be good enough. Nobody has ever been saved by being good enough. Nobody has ever been saved by keeping the commandment. Do you keep the commandments? Do you know what they are? A lot of people can't even recite what the commandments are. So if you can't name them, how in the world can you keep them? It says the law could not save us, even if you knew what they were, even if you tried, because of your sinful nature. But God put into effect a different plan to save us, the scripture says. He sent His own Son as a sacrifice for our sins. And He did this, and here's why, it says, He did this so that the requirements of the law would be fully accomplished for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead now we follow the Spirit. You see, the only person who ever kept every law in the Bible is Jesus. None of us have ever kept all of those laws. None of us ever could. We have all sinned, no matter how good we've been, no matter how hard we've tried. We have all fallen short except Jesus. So the law, all it did was condemn us. All it did was to show us how much we don't measure up. But the Bible says that Jesus came along and he kept all the laws. He was perfect. He satisfied the law by paying for our sins and dying when he wasn't condemned to die. He didn't have to die because he had kept all the laws. But he gave his life as a substitute, as a sacrifice for the sins we had committed. And so the third thing Jesus was saying when he says it's finished, he paid my penalty. It says so in Colossians 2. He said he canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and he destroyed it by nailing those sins to Christ's cross. Do any of you ever use credit cards? You don't need to raise your hand. I can tell by the expressions on the face, many of you do. Well, how would you like it if you got a call from the bank, from Visa or MasterCard or whatever, and they would call you and they'd say, guess what? We're going to cancel all of your charges that you have on your credit cards. How would you like that? I can tell by the smile, you'd love that. So would I. The bank or the credit cards would say, we know that you have made charges on your credit card, and you said you were going to pay on them on time. We know you did that because you didn't have the money at the time and you needed to put it there. We're just going to let you know, though, we're going to cancel the bill. It's zero. You're free of your debt. Wow. Feels good to even think about it. That's exactly what Jesus did on the cross when he said, it is finished. He's saying, I've wiped your record clean. It's been paid in full. You can go to heaven if you put your trust in Christ and if you say, let Christ take that debt and wipe it clean. You know, I think there's going to be people that are going to find themselves one day standing before God in heaven. And they're going to say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for that thing that I'm sorry for that sin. And Christ is going to say, what sin? Well, you're going to say, Lord, I'm sorry about that lie. And he's going to say, what lie? You say, but Lord, what about my unfaithfulness? And the Lord is going to say, what unfaithfulness? We're going to say, well, what about that problem? What about that addiction? What about that sin? What about that hideous thing that I did? And you're going to hear Christ say, what? Why is he going to say that? Because he's going to say, well, I look at the records here and it says you're record has been canceled. It's clean. It's been paid in full. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. That is the good news of what Jesus did on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross and he's saying, it is finished, he blotted it out. He paid for it in full. Jesus fulfilled the scripture. He satisfied the law. He paid for everything. He paid for it all in full. And here's the fourth thing Jesus is saying when he's hanging on the cross and he says it is finished. He says that he's conquered sin and death. He broke the grip of sin and death in our lives. The fear of the death and grip of sin and the power over us, Jesus said, I've destroyed that. Jesus is giving a shout of victory when he said, it is finished. I've done it. I've paid for it and I've broken it so that you won't have to worry about that grip anymore. Listen to what it says in Romans 5. It says, the sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over us. But all who receive God's wonderful, gracious gift of righteousness will live in triumph. In other words, that's what it means to conquer. We will live in triumph over sin and death. In other words, he conquered that, the sin and death, through this one man, Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, look in Romans 6. It says, when Christ died, he died to defeat the power of sin one time, enough for all time. In other words, when Jesus died, he broke that chain. He broke that grip was on. He defeated the power of sin. So what does that mean? It means when I invite Jesus Christ into my life, I get a new power. I get a power to stop doing the things that I can't stop doing on my own. He gives us supernatural ability. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm never going to sin again. But at least it gives me the power to know that I do not have to sin. You have the power to make a choice. Jesus says, I'm going to give you that power that you can say no. You can resist it. And the devil will flee from you. In Hebrews 2, it says, Jesus became flesh and blood by being born in human form. For only as a human could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he deliver those who have lived all their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Are you afraid to die? If you have fear of dying, that fear comes from the devil. Satan wants you to be afraid. He wants you to be afraid of death because he wants you to die and he wants to ruin your life. He wants you to ruin your life so that you will be with him. You don't have to be afraid to die. And why do I say that? You can know where you're going when you die. You can die as a friend of God. And Paul says, for me to die when I'm a friend with God is gain. Because when I die, I'm going to go be with God. And if I don't die, if I'm alive, I'm a friend of God here because of Jesus Christ. He's saying Jesus has broken the power of the fear of death. You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. You don't want to go around with the fear of death. You want to go around with the victory that Jesus has given us in his death. You're ready to know that Jesus has broken the power through his resurrection. Jesus fulfilled the scripture. Jesus satisfied the law. Jesus paid for my penalty. Jesus conquered sin and death. And the fifth thing that Jesus was saying when he says it is finished, he defeated the devil. When Jesus said it is finished, a cosmic war was being played out between Satan and the Son of God. And from the human standpoint, it looked like Satan had won. Here's Jesus on the cross. He'd been beaten, he'd been battered, he'd been bruised, he's bleeding, he's dying. And it looks like Satan has won. And Satan thought he had finally got a grip on destroying the Son of God. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," and the whole universe shook, all of a sudden Satan goes, "Uh-oh, I've done it now. I really hadn't thought this through. He said, uh-oh, I'm finished. I've done it now. What was I thinking, Satan said. I thought I could destroy God. The arrogance of that. 3 days later, Jesus rises from the grave and he says to Satan, I'm back. And he was, because Satan was finished. This was a fatal blow on Satan's plan to destroy your life and my life forever. You say, now, wait a minute. I look around in this world, and I look around, and I see that Satan looks like he's pretty much alive today. It looks like he's doing all kinds of things, messing up people's lives. Yeah. But look at Colossians 2. God took away Satan's power to accuse you of sin. You see, Satan can't accuse you that you deserve to die. He can't do that anymore because Jesus has already paid it in full. And so Jesus openly displayed to the whole world Christ's triumph at the cross, where your sins were all taken away. No matter what I do in my life between now and death, I would still go to heaven. Not because of me, but because I can't lose my salvation when I put it in the hands of Jesus Christ. It's been paid in full. And that's the good news. I might mess up. I might fail. I may cause all kinds of difficulties or whatever, but I'm not going to be snatched out of the hands of God. There is nothing that can remove my salvation from the hands of God, because once I put my hand in His hand, God closes His hand and He's not going to let go. I may want to let go. I may even let go. But God doesn't let go, and He keeps holding on, and He's paid for it in full, and He's not going to let me slip or fall. Let me summarize this. What did Jesus do when He died on the cross? What did He do when He said, it's all been accomplished? What did He finish when He said, it's finished? What was finished on the cross? He fulfilled the Scripture. He satisfied the law. He paid my penalty. He conquered sin and death. And He defeated the devil. And that's why when He said it is finished, those are the most important words you will ever hear in your life. It is finished. I've given my life for you. When you get discouraged and you start to think that things aren't going right in your life, and you remember, well, what's already been done? The Bible says back in the Old Testament, there was a bunch of people who were getting beat up. And they said this, Lord, we have no power. We're weak. There's nothing we can do. We can't face this vast enemy that is attacking us. We don't know what to do. Have you ever been like that? You ever feel like things are caving in on you in life and you don't know what to do? But this is what the people of Israel said when they felt that way. They said, but our eyes are on You, God. And that's what we need to do. Even when we feel like it's all caving in, and we say, oh, how are we going to face this problem? We need to put our eyes on You. There's a well-known pastor who had finished speaking one night at a revival, and a man came up to him and he said, oh, Pastor, I need to know, what do I need to do to get into heaven? What do I need to do to be saved? And the pastor looked at him and he said, you're too late. And the man said, what do you mean I'm too late? Is the service over? Is it so that I can't know this? And the pastor looked at him and he said, you're too late. And the man cried out, why? And the pastor said, everything that needed to be done to save you was done 2,000 years ago on the cross. And you're too late to do anything to make anything else happen. In other words, Jesus has already done what needed to be done to save you. All that's left is for you to accept Him. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord God, you spoke words of love from the cross, crying out, it is finished. So what's finished? Everything. Everything needed to be saved. Your death, Jesus, on the cross has done everything we need to be forgiven. It did everything we need to go to heaven. Your death on the cross has done everything we need to be free from the things that have messed up our lives. Oh God, thank you for doing it all. Thank you that our salvation is finished. So we just need to be still this morning and know that you are waiting to save us right now. And I'm going to put my trust in you to do what only you can do, for only you can make things right in my life. Oh God, I need you and I trust you, and I'm going to come to you now. And I'm going to pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen.
See the work of my hands. Be still.